In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Let us kneel. Most Holy and Immaculate Virgin Mary, Queen of the Most Holy Rosary, in these days of dead faith and brazen impiety, turn, dear Mother, upon us thine eyes of mercy, and have pity on us who have such great need of thy assistance. Consider the cruel warfare waged by the world, the flesh, and the devil against our souls, and see how many are perishing in the strife. Show thyself our mother, and pray for us without ceasing to the Blessed Trinity, that we may have the grace to be ever victorious over the devil, the world, and all our perverse passions. That grace whereby the just may sanctify themselves ever more and more, sinners may be converted, heresies destroyed, unbelievers enlightened, and the Muslims and Jews brought to the light of faith. Teach us, O mighty Mother of God, to show forth in our lives thy virtues, especially angelic purity, profound humility, and ardent charity, so that by word and example we may, as far as is possible in our state of life, be living images of thy blessed Son, Jesus, in the midst of the world, and make thee known and loved in the sure hope that thus we may succeed in bringing many souls to salvation. O blessed Rosary of Mary, sweet chain that binds us to God, bond of love that makes us one with the angels, tower of salvation amid the attacks of hell, safe harbor in the universal shipwreck, we shall never forget thee. Thou shalt be our consolation in the hour of death's agony. Thine shall be the last kiss of our ebbing life. O sweet and dearest Mother, be thou everywhere blessed, now and forever, on earth and in heaven. Amen. Today is the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, and I will pick up immediately from where I left off last Sunday when I was preaching about St. Michael the Archangel. And I mentioned that one of the principal offices of St. Michael the Archangel, one of his main functions, is to wage incessant war against the arch-fiend Satan. This is such an important task. In some ways we might say it's St. Michael's major task, obviously after giving glory to God. His major task, and again, it's such an important task that God has assigned it to his greatest and most powerful angel, waging incessant war against the devil. And last Sunday I also quoted to you from St. Augustine, I'll repeat this quote because it bears repeating. We should continuously reflect on this very great truth taught to us by this great doctor of the church. St. Augustine warns us, quote, "Our enemies are ever on the alert to work our ruin, and we are ever forgetful of our salvation." Close quote. So often we forget to give due importance to the matter of our salvation because we're distracted by the world. We're swayed by the weakness of our flesh, the world and the flesh. And yet, our great enemy, Satan, and all his minions, they never forget. They're ever on the alert, always looking for ways to bring about the ruin of souls and the ruin of our soul. And like I say, this is something that we will do well to often reflect on. Because this is the reality of our lives. Even though in general we cannot see our spiritual enemies, in particular the devil, in general we can't see him, our enemies are ever on the alert to work our ruin, our spiritual ruin, our damnation. We are ever forgetful of our salvation and of the importance of our salvation. And this is why I emphasize this again this Sunday, because All we have to do also is to look at Saint Michael the Archangel and all his armies of angels to get a better sense of what is taking place. We are in the midst of a tremendous battle. And we're so forgetful of this. And this tremendous battle is against the devil, the world, and the flesh. The battle here never lessens. We just so often don't pay attention. I point out to you, this is also significant from today, today's Mass, the collect prayer that I prayed just moments ago. This is how the prayer begins. Quote, "Grant, we beseech thee, O Lord, that thy people may shun all the wiles of the devil." Close quote. The prayer doesn't say this, but we could very easily add, "and overcome the snares of the world and the flesh." We always have to be beseeching God for his help and his assistance to be able to overcome the enemies of our salvation. We always have to be working at this. We don't want to fall in that category of the vast majority that are ever forgetful of their salvation and don't take seriously the constant attacks and the cunning and the ferocity of those attacks of our enemies, the devil, the world, and the flesh. This is all the time. All the time I am being attacked and I'm being tempted by the devil, the world, and the flesh. What am I doing about it? How am I defending myself? What kind of armor am I putting on? How much am I asking for God's help? How much am I invoking His help, the help of our Blessed Mother? How faithful, for example, am I to the prayer of the Rosary and praying it with devotion this month of October, being the month also of the Holy Rosary? One of the greatest weapons, again, against the devil, the world, and the flesh is the Holy Rosary. That's why we've been given the Rosary. That's why our Blessed Mother gives us the Rosary. We have to also do our part in fighting against the devil, the world, and the flesh. Very briefly, I want to tell you about something that just took place 2 days ago, really something very beautiful. Some of you know that I was in Guatemala, and Sister Maria Elizabeth is now her new name, so don't call her by her old name. Many of you remember her as Amber Garcia of Presidio, but Amber is no more. There's only now Sister Maria Elizabeth. So 2 days ago, she took the religious habit, and it was really a very beautiful ceremony to see this young woman, not quite 22 years old, in a way I would say from among us, basically leaving the world and in a very real way dying to herself to truly live exclusively for Christ and give herself completely to Him. That's the significance also of her having a completely new, you know, habit. She's a new being, death to the world to live for Christ, and also the taking on of a new religious name. That in a way one could say she no longer belongs to this world, she no longer belongs to her family, she no longer belongs to everything that, you know, took place up until this point. Now she's born as a spouse of Christ and to give herself completely to Christ. But I mention this also because it's very significant what was prayed throughout the ceremony of the taking of the habit. It's a beautiful ceremony where she's presented with different things. Obviously, first, the different parts of her habit and her cincture, which represents chastity. Also, she's presented with the book of prayer, which is the divine office, as well as the rosary, and also a crucifix that she kisses. But I just want to mention this to you, that at the very beginning, just two examples from that ceremony, because they're particularly relevant for religious life, but they're also relevant for all of us baptized Catholics. And that's at the very beginning of the ceremony, the priest prayed the following, more or less a translation. He prayed it in Latin. Quote, "All powerful and ever living God, we beseech thee, look upon this your family with mercy and love." And that your family is specifically referring to the Franciscan nuns. the religious community there. So, look upon this, your family, with mercy and love. Secure them upon the solid rock, which is Christ, so that they may remain faithful in the midst of the attacks of the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's the prayer that was prayed 2 days ago at the beginning before one of their, you could say maybe new members, now that she became a novice, before she takes on the habit and in a sense becomes one of them, a solemn prayer for all of them so that they will be secure upon the solid rock which is Christ. So they'll remain faithful in the midst of all these attacks that will come against them. And they will especially be attacked, just like priests will especially be attacked, but so will Catholics be especially attacked, especially the Catholics that are trying to truly be faithful, attacked by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And then just moments later, the priest then blesses the habit. He then is going to bless also the habit individually, you know, the veil as well, but he blesses the habit in general, and this is what he prays. The next prayer, quote, O Lord Jesus Christ, we beg Thee in Thine infinite bounty and mercy, deign to bless and sanctify this habit, which Holy Francis himself, obviously Saint Francis of Assisi, the father of the community of Franciscans, deign to bless and sanctify this habit, which Holy Francis himself ordered be worn as a sign of penance and a powerful armor against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Close quote. The habit of the religious, one of the very important meanings is a powerful armor against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Because the ones who most have to fight the fight against Satan, the world, and the flesh are the priests and the religious. That's why they take vows of chastity, of poverty, of obedience. That's why they detach from the world. Because there have to be those chosen members from among the church militant, that truly dedicate themselves, you might say 100%, to this fight. Because this is the constant battle of the Christian. Obviously, according to our state of life, each one of us must also be very much engaged in this fight. We must never let ourselves succumb to that great danger of living our life day in, day out, forgetful of our salvation and forgetful of all the things that our enemies are doing to bring about the ruin of our soul. This morning I'm going to say just a little bit about the devil, and at the end I'll say a little bit about the world. But the first thing that I'll say about the devil is this, that, and this is important because, again, one of the first traps of the devil in the world is to make us think that the devil doesn't exist, that the devil isn't that important, you know, make believe, set it aside. The devil is very real. Our Lord, if you ever have any doubts, go to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Lord mentions the names of the devil at least 20 times in the Holy Gospels. And in just one sentence of the book of the Apocalypse, the inspired Word of God, Apocalypse chapter 12, verse 9. Apocalypse 12, verse 9. We have 4 different names of the devil in one sentence, emphasizing the fact that this is our arch enemy and that we better be ready to be fighting against him. I'll give you that quote, Apocalypse 12, 9, quote, and that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent who is called the devil and Satan, who seduceth the whole world, and he was cast unto the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Close quote. So, the great dragon, old serpent, devil, Satan. 4 names in just one sentence. Apocalypse 12, verse 9. And Jesus himself says the following of Satan in John chapter 8, verse 44. Quote, he was a murderer from the beginning, and he stood not in the truth, because truth is not in him, for he is a liar and the father thereof. Close quote. In a few minutes at the end of the sermon, I'm going to come back to this, so don't forget that sacred scripture here in Apocalypse 12:9 and in John 8:44 tell us two very important things about the devil. That he seduces the whole world. Don't forget that. That's straight from Apocalypse. He seduces the whole world. So don't think that just because the whole world is doing something that that means that the world is right. Satan seduces the whole world. And he's a liar. He's the father of lies. He always seeks to undermine the truth. I'll just give you a few examples from the testimony of the saints. Saint Teresa of Avila gives the following testimony, quote, "Once when I was in an oratory, the devil appeared on my left hand in an abominable form. As he spoke to me, I paid particular attention to his mouth, which was horrible. Out of his body there seemed to be coming a great flame, which was intensely bright and cast no shadow. He told me in a horrible way that I had indeed escaped out of his hands, but he would get hold of me still. I was very much afraid and made the sign of the cross, whereupon he disappeared, but immediately returned again. This happened twice, and I did not know what to do. But there was some holy water there, so I flung some in the direction of the apparition, and it never came back." Close quote. Obviously there we have the testimony of a great saint on two of the great weapons against the devil, the sign of the cross, obviously also a blessed crucifix and holy water. Another example. A mysterious snake appeared to St. Ignatius of Loyola on more than one occasion. This vision first appeared as a luminous figure, which he could not perfectly distinguish. It was vague and formless, but it seemed to resemble a serpent that had many points or centers like eyes from which issued a vivid light. Apart from that, one night when St. Ignatius of Loyola was sleeping, the devil tried to suffocate him. He tried to strangle him, grasping his throat as if by a hand so strong that Ignatius could not by any effort invoke the holy name of Jesus. Finally, repelling force by force, Ignatius broke out at last with the name of Jesus, by which the attack of the devil was repulsed. Obviously there we have another great weapon against the devil, which is to pray with devotion the holy name of Jesus, and obviously also the holy name of Mary. The devils that appear to Saint Paul of the Cross sometimes took the form of cats that walked over his bed while he was trying to rest. Other times they appeared as enormous dogs or hateful looking birds, or like a savage giant tormenting and vexing him. And one final example, this is from Sister Josefa Menendez. She lived from 1890 to 1923. Her cause for beatification has already been introduced. She suffered many attacks from the devil. Showers of blows administered by an invisible fist fell upon her day and night, especially when she was in prayer. At other times she was violently snatched away from the chapel or prevented from entering it. Under the very eyes of her superior, she would suddenly disappear, and after a long search would be found thrown into some loft or beneath heavy furniture or in some unfrequented spot. These torments were witnessed by her companions and continued until the Blessed Mother intervened. There again, another very important weapon against the attacks of the devil, devotion to our Blessed Mother. The final example that I want to give you about the very real attacks of the devil, the very real presence of the devil, comes from no less an authority than our Blessed Mother herself and her message that is specifically for our times, Our Lady of Fatima. This is very significant because there is a special emphasis on the devil in the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima, and especially also in the explanation that was given later by Sister Lucia. And I say this is very significant because it's especially in our times that the devil is wreaking havoc, seducing the whole world with his lies. We can go so far as to say, basically, there are obviously exceptions, but we are living in a time where basically the devil has seduced the whole Catholic Church. And one of the reasons is because we who are the ones who are supposed to take most seriously this constant battle against the devil, the world, and the flesh, and we're the ones that are supposed to be the most mindful of the salvation of our souls, we've neglected it. And if the ones who are supposed to be most mindful of that and most committed to that have set it aside, what do you think is going to happen? So Our Lady of Fatima and the battle with the devil. It's very significant that in preparation for the apparition of our Blessed Mother at Fatima, the angel commonly presumed to be Saint Michael. So Saint Michael the Archangel appearing to the three shepherd children three times in 1916, in the spring, summer, and in the fall. Preparing them obviously for the coming of our Blessed Mother, but it's got to be obvious to anyone who knows their Catholic faith. What did we just say? What did I say at the beginning of the sermon, what I was preaching last Sunday? That one of the principal offices of St. Michael is to wage an incessant war against the archfiend Satan. So if he's appearing to the shepherd children of Fatima, it's because God has chosen to give special graces to these little children and through them to us to fight the fight against the devil, to fight the fight against the devil, the world, and the flesh, particularly our times, particularly in this century. How are we responding? And then notice how in Fatima, our Blessed Mother, probably more than at any other apparition in the history of mankind, she emphasizes the rosary. At Fatima, she appears as Our Lady of the Rosary. The rosary, again, the great weapon against the devil, the great weapon against heresy, the devil who seduces with lies. And then I'll finish up here on Lady of Fatima with three very specific comments. Two by Sister Lucia, one by our Blessed Mother herself. On July the 13th, again here, this for the people who think that, the devil doesn't really exist, he's not really doing anything, we don't have to really worry about it. On July the 13th, 1917, this was the third apparition of Our Lady of Fatima, the Blessed Virgin Mary showed the three shepherd children of Fatima a terrifying vision of hell. And don't think it was just a vision of hell, just whatever, kind of in theory. The little children saw the devils, probably hundreds of them, multitudes of them. They saw a great sea of fire under the earth, and plunged in this fire were demons and human souls. Both the demons and human souls appeared as if they were red hot coals, transparent and black or bronze colored, floating about in conflagration borne by flames. The demons could be distinguished by their horrible and loathsome forms of animals, frightful and unknown, all black and transparent. Basically, at Fatima, our Blessed Mother reveals to the children and through the children to our times a terrifying vision of the demons and what they do. And then on December the 26th, 1957, Sister Lucia Fatima was interviewed by Father Agustin Fuentes, a Mexican priest who was the postulator for the beatification causes of Francisco and Jacinta Marto. This was Sister Lucia's last public interview, and among her statements to Father Fuentes was the following one. And again, this is in 1957, right before the opening of the Second Vatican Council. Quote, "Father, the devil is in the mood for engaging in a decisive battle against the Blessed Virgin. And the devil knows what it is that most offends God, and which in a short space of time will gain for him the greatest number of souls. Thus the devil does everything to overcome souls consecrated to God, because in this way the devil will succeed in leaving the souls of the faithful abandoned by their leaders. Thereby the more easily will he seize them." Close quote. So Sister Lucia is saying, we could say on the eve of 1960, that the devil is in the mood for engaging in a decisive battle with our Blessed Mother. You might say his greatest battle. So don't be so surprised if some people, more and more I'm of this opinion, if some people think that right now the Catholic Church is going through the greatest crisis in her entire history, that's not that far-fetched, because linked with our Blessed Mother's apparition at Fatima is that the devil is engaging in a decisive, you could say, his greatest battle against our Blessed Mother. And then the final example from Fatima, Cardinal Carlo Caffarra died approximately 2 years ago. Some of you might remember him. He was one of the four Dubia cardinals, one of the four cardinals that sent the Dubia to Pope Francis, trying to defend the truth. So he died approximately 2 years ago. He was the Archbishop of Bologna, Italy, and a former member of the Pontifical Council for the Family. In an interview from February the 16th, 2008, Cardinal Caffarra spoke about a letter which he received in the early 1980s from Sister Lucia dos Santos, that's Sister Lucia Fatima. Cardinal Caffarra said, quote, "At the start of this work," and he's talking about his work in the Pontifical Council for the Family, so quote, "At the start of this work entrusted to me by the servant of God, John Paul II, I wrote to Sister Lucia Fatima through her bishop, as I couldn't do so directly. Unexplainably, however, since I didn't expect an answer, seeing that I had only asked for prayers, I received a very long letter with her signature. In it we find written, 'The final battle between the Lord and the reign of Satan will be about marriage and the family. Don't be afraid,' she added, "because anyone who works for the sanctity of marriage and the family will always be fought and opposed in every way, because this is the decisive issue." And then she concluded, "However, Our Lady has already crushed its head." Close quote. Very quickly, I don't think I'll have time now to say much about the world, so I'll say that at another time. But very quickly, I just want to give you a look. We can summarize the work of the devil in this way. He is a seducer, and he's the father of lies. He's going to seduce us. He's going to seduce also the whole world. His goal is to seduce the whole world. His goal is to seduce the whole hierarchy of the Catholic Church more than anyone else, obviously. That's exactly what Sister Lucy was saying. That the devil knows how to attack, and he's going to go for the head. If he's able to get the priest, that much more easily can he get all the people under the priest. If he's able to get the bishop, that much more easily can get everybody under him. If he can get the pope, that much more easily get everybody under the pope. So he's the seducer, and he's the father of lies. And that's why it's so important that we do our best to be faithful to the truth that the Catholic Church has always taught. And we have to be alert right now, especially alert to the fact that those that are supposed to be the teachers of Christ's truth, the successors to the apostles, the bishops, and the priests, that to a large, large, large extent, they're the ones that are betraying Christ. And they're the ones that are doing the work of Satan. So he's a seducer and the liar, the father of lies. And also, his great, we might say his great ways of attacking souls and attacking our souls are blasphemy, heresy, impurity. Don't forget that. Blasphemy, heresy, impurity. Our Blessed Mother herself said that. Said that in her apparitions in Quito. She talked about how these were going to be the great sins of our times, the 20th and 21st centuries. And that has all the footprints and the tail there of Satan. Blasphemy, heresy, and impurity. And it's so, so sad because all you have to do is pay attention to what's happening right now within the Catholic Church, and that's what you see. Blasphemy, heresy, impurity. Basically, just remember, in terms of blasphemy, one of the ways that we define blasphemy is that it's denouncing God or His saints, or speaking contemptuously of objects connected with the worship of God. Listen to what I just said. Blasphemy, it commonly refers to speech. That person is speaking blasphemy. So, speaking contemptuously of objects connected with the worship of God. Blasphemy. Blasphemy is normally understood to relate to speech, but in a wider sense, any irreverence towards God and that which is holy. Any irreverence towards God and that which is holy could be said to be blasphemous, including thoughts and actions. Imagine if you're not just speaking contemptuously of objects related to the worship of God, but you're acting contemptuously toward them. You're destroying holy things, destroying altars, destroying churches, acting contemptuously against what is holy. See, blasphemy, we could basically say, is profaning that which is holy. What is the holiest thing that we have as Catholics? The holy sacrifice of the Mass. I'm telling you, this is not made up. Anybody can see it. For the last 50 years, it's been blasphemy after blasphemy after blasphemy against the holy sacrifice of the Mass and against the holy sacraments of God. Profaning what is holy. What is most holy? The sacraments. What else is most holy? One of the sacraments. The priesthood. What do you think is coming up? Began today. The Synod in the Amazon began today. And they're looking to profane the priesthood. That's what's happening. Profane the priesthood. That which is holy, that which is exclusively belongs to God, the marvelous gift of the celibacy and the chastity of the priesthood, they're looking to change it. And I'm almost certain that's what they're going to do. These people, I'm telling you, many of them possessed by Satan. Profaning that which is holy. They already did that to marriage in the other synod, on marriage and the family. I mean, you see the tracks here of Satan. Those things that are so holy, marriage and the family. Profanation after profanation. Well, we'll end there, but I still had some very good examples for you. I had a very good example for you also about relevant to marriage and family and modesty and chastity, also for the young people that are preparing for marriage, but we'll get to that sometime in the near future. Also, as far as, I mean, there's a lot also here in terms of how we have to fight against the world, because the devil is seducing the world, and we as Catholics are obviously in the world, but we cannot be like the world. And we are not of the world, and we do not belong to the world. If you're doing things like the world, that's not a good sign. And again, there's a lot of examples also of that. I mean, you've got, just real quickly, I mean, just not even that long ago, since I've been traveling a fair amount in the last month and a half or so, I couldn't believe it, you know, at the airport, seeing, it was a young couple, and they had two little children, I mean, really small. One of them, I'm sure, was less than 2 years old. The other one, I think, was a little over 2 years old, a boy and a girl. The little girl was less than 2 years old. I would guess that she was maybe barely a little bit, maybe a year and a half. And the little girl, a year and a half, also the little boy, a little over two, but both of them, I don't know what they're called, but one of these screens where they're just punching away at it. You know, a little child that's not even 2 years old. Again, I'm just saying that this is the way of the world, and if you're doing what the world is doing in anything, the way you dress, the way you speak, the way you think, that's not a good sign. Let us pray. O August Queen of Victories, O Virgin Ruler of Paradise, at whose powerful name the heavens rejoice and hell trembles for fear, we pour forth with tears the deepest affection of our hearts and implore your help and intercession. Thou art omnipotent through grace. Thou therefore canst save us. O Mary, glorious Queen of the Most Holy Rosary, Thou who art the star of the sea, our mighty mistress, the sea of sorrow, the gate of heaven, and the mother of every grace, in Thee we put our trust, from Thee we hope for all things. It is Thy task to save us from the devil, the world, and the flesh. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.